Turn your Bibles, will, to Hebrews chapter 13. That's our consideration for this morning. Brother Nicky led in the song, "My Sheep Hear My Voice." And that is true. And if you're here without Christ, oh, that you would hear the voice and the call of the Lord Jesus. He is real. He is the Savior, and He is our great shepherd. That's what we want to consider here this morning. In Hebrews chapter 13, the apostle signing off in his writing to the Jews, and in this particular book, and just because it was written to the Jews doesn't mean that it doesn't have content for us. It indeed does. But in his salutation, in his signing off in this book, we see in Hebrews chapter 13, and verse number 20, the scripture says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or mature in every good work to do His will." They're talking about why He saved us, to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Here in verse number 20, he says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep." We want to consider about that phrase, those words, the great shepherd, our great shepherd. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day, your blessings, your goodness towards us. We thank you, Father, for the privilege to be able to meet together with your people to worship you. And Lord, we praise your name for each one that's come. Help us now, Father. And we thank you for your blessings in the services already. You've been so good to us in it. And we pray at this time, Father, we might focus upon your word and those truths in your word that you have for us. Help us to hear you, believe you, trust in those things that you say. Lord, we might take your word and apply it to live in life. Lord, we might grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we might be better fitted, better equipped, Lord, to go out and serve you in this lost and dying world. Help us to be a good witness of good things to sinners and saints alike. And Lord, just bless us and help us. We pray for those who are here this morning, Lord, that they might hear the call of the shepherd, and Lord, that you would be pleased, and Lord, that the shepherd would call, that Jesus would call, and that they would hear. And Lord, we pray that you'd work and you'd save sinners, rescue them, make them your own, Lord, add them to your fold, Father, as you only can. Help now, we pray and bless, and work in our midst, and help us, Lord, to lay aside the cares of life at this time. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. That great shepherd of the sheep. Our shepherd, our great shepherd is, and I know that's redundant, but he is great indeed, isn't he? We don't know much about shepherds. I mean, we don't have shepherds around us. If maybe you've had some experience with someone that was a shepherd, I have not personally, other than what I see in the scripture and what I've read otherwise. But shepherds are keepers. They're overseers or they're caretakers of cattle. And when we think about a shepherd, namely, they're the caretakers and overseers and keepers of the dumbest cattle that there is. Okay? It's just the way that it is. Namely, goats and sheep. They are that way. And that's interesting that the Lord has manifested and presented himself and us in this way. He tells a great truth in it. It is true. But shepherds aren't wimps. They're not wimps. Don't think and see, and it's kind of like the bill of goods that's been sold once again. These depictions, so-called, of Jesus, and they're not depictions of Jesus. No one knows what the Lord looks like. And I know full well that any of these depictions of the Lord Jesus are not him, because the fellas that are depicted are either depicted nigh unto being like women with mustaches, or they're wimpy looking, or they're too good looking to be the Lord Jesus, because our Lord Jesus came as one that the scripture says there was no comeliness in him that we should desire him. Until the Lord Jesus opened his mouth, there was nothing about him that anybody would even notice. And so we see they have these pictures, and they've got the long-haired hippie freak looking kind of Jesus there, and he's kind of gaunt and kind of wimpish looking and all that, and he's got his shepherd's crook and he's standing there, and we get in our minds this thing that shepherds are wimps. But that's the farthest thing from the truth. Shepherds are tough. To go out from their home and live out in the countryside, going as far as is necessary to get good food and good water for their herd, that part of the herd that they have, that fold that they are responsible for, they have to be tough. They have to be willing and able to be solitary by themselves for a long, long time. You ever been lonely? Loneliness is a terrible thing, and a shepherd would have to deal with loneliness and being the only one there for days and maybe weeks at hand. A shepherd has to be brave to fight off those animals that'll come in looking for the sheep. A sheep are an easy meal, and even a shepherd of goats would be the goats would be found to be an easy meal for a mountain lion or a bear or wild dogs or wolves. A shepherd would have to be brave. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as the apostle signs off in this book of Hebrews that we've read there in chapter 13, he refers to the Lord Jesus that the Father raised from the dead as the great shepherd of the sheep, our great shepherd. He is great. Do you mind being called a sheep? I don't, because it's the truth. It's the truth. And I'm glad that we have such a great shepherd. You know, there's some great leaders in the scripture. You think about this. I hadn't thought about it in this way, but it's so. Some great leaders in the scripture that were shepherds. You ever think about that? When we think about shepherds and we think about leaders, well, what's one that you think of? David. Think about David. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, in verse 15, it says there, "But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep in Bethlehem." And he didn't quarrel and fuss about it, did he? He went and did it. It was his job. And he had to be brave and tough and able in those things. And you know what? I wonder if that wasn't a thing that made, from the human standpoint and the working of the Lord in his life, if that didn't make David such a great leader as he was. David wasn't a man of stature. He was a man that was fleet of foot, and he was very able and strong. But he wasn't a tall man like Saul was. But he was a leader. And the people loved him, didn't they? And he was a good leader, desiring good things for the nation. Oh, yeah, he was a man, and he had some sins, and he had some things that he transgressed in. David said unto Saul in that same chapter in verses 34 through 36, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock." Verse 36, "Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine," speaking of Goliath, "shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said moreover, verse 37, "The Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with thee." David rehearsed about what he had done. He didn't think of himself as being brave. He relied upon the Lord. Let's think about you and me going out and slaying a lion and a bear with just a sling, with our bare hands. Okay, we'll venture you a knife. I'm thinking like 30 or 40 caliber, aren't you? Amen? But David, he went out and did it. He rested in the Lord, and then he was brave, and the Lord gave him deliverance, and he took care of those sheep. Wouldn't it have been easier just for him to let those sheep be and maybe let the lion have one and the bear have another? He said he couldn't take it. He said it could not be. He went in and took the lamb out of the mouth of those creatures. Isn't that something? A brave man. Mentioned about David being a great leader, and indeed he was, blessed of the Lord. Remember when in there's a couple accounts in the Kings and the Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles chapter 21, remember when David sinned and he numbered the people? He numbered the people and caused great destruction upon the nation. A leader has to watch what they do, indeed. And in 1 Chronicles 21, verse 17, David's heart for the people and for the place of leadership that the Lord had given him, I think him being a shepherd helped him much in that. He says here in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 17, "And David said unto God, Is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done?" His error, his sin, his transgression was meted out on the very people that he was given to rule and to love and to lead. And that's the way he refers to them, as sheep. And he's not doing that condescendingly. He's saying that they were innocent. They were innocent. "But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be on me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued." Wow. How many of us, even though we would be at fault and it would affect others, would we say, "Lord, take instead and turn that on me and on my family, rather than those who are innocent"? He was brave, wasn't he? And he was true. A great shepherd in his own right. And then Moses. Some of you mouthed about Moses. You forget about Moses. He, after he left Egypt there, and he was in the desert taking care of sheep, wasn't he? Or the wilderness. Taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, Jethro. And, of course, the Lord appeared to him while he was out there. And speaking about bravery, remember how it was when Jethro's daughters first met Moses? They were there trying to water their father's flock at the well. And this Egyptian showed up and drove the other shepherds away that didn't give place or weren't willing to be courteous to those daughters of Jethro and the watering of their flocks. And they got home real, real early because of what that man Moses did. He was brave enough to drive those other shepherds away by himself to give those gals an opportunity to water their father's sheep. Remember that? And then in Numbers 27, verse number 15, Moses' desire for the people. Moses has erred. He struck the rock twice. And the Lord said, "Speak to the rock." The Lord has told Moses that he's not going to enter into the promised land. As I pointed out here recently, I believe, you know, Moses just didn't get full of the mully grubs and lay down his responsibility and his calling, did he? But here in Numbers chapter 27, in verse number 15, it says here, "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying," after the Lord had told him just a few verses earlier that he was going to be carried on to eternity like Aaron was, his life was going to be done. "And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying," in Numbers 27:15, "Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd." He could have just said, "Okay, well, I don't get to go into the promised land. We'll just phooey on the rest of it. But he didn't. He, being told of the Lord the way it was going to be, he said to the Lord, "Lord, set a man over them that'll do them well." What a desire. Amen. Isn't that, doesn't that show great character and blessing of heart? The Lord has told him he's going to die. And he's not going to be able to take the people into that land. He says, "Lord, set up a man over them that will do them well, that will help them, that will lead them in a good, right way." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient." That desire of Moses, the Lord honored that, didn't he? And Joshua was a good shepherd, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. And then in Deuteronomy 18, verse number 15, Moses here preaching to the children of Israel in this book of Deuteronomy and rehearsing the things of their captivity that they were saved from, and then their trials in the wilderness and their wandering and sojourning and such. He says, "The Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me." And so many parallels. Moses being a type of Christ in many ways, and but as it is with men, only to a point. A prophet, yes indeed, and a shepherd, a leader, like Moses was too, wasn't he? "He'll raise up one like unto me from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him shall ye hearken." Hear what he says and do what he says. Our great shepherd. The Lord did so, didn't he? And raised up Jesus Christ. A few points about our great shepherd, and just musing about him and considering what the Scripture says about him. The birth of the great shepherd was first announced to who? Shepherds. The shepherds. Not to the kings of the earth, and not to mighty men, but to ones that were in semblance like unto our Lord. He came meek and lowly, and as the announcement of his birth was unto the meek and the lowly. The shepherds are not regarded as much. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Verse 15, "And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, 'Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us.'" Verse 18, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds." Verse 20, "And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, and it was told unto them, as it was told unto them." The birth, the arrival, of course his mother carried him for those 9 months, but his arrival as a man was first announced. The great shepherd's birth was first announced to shepherds. Not the way that you and I would do it, is it? We mentioned about earlier that the great shepherd, a shepherd must be brave, and the great shepherd is brave, isn't he? In Amos chapter 3, the scripture says in verse 12, "Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so the children of Israel shall be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch." The principle there is a shepherd is willing to deliver even one lamb. He'll risk his whole life just to deliver one. You know, we that are saved, you've heard me say it before, we indeed value and are blessed by the salvation of others, our brothers and sisters in Christ. But there's no greater salvation to you than yours. And our great shepherd, you can say this too if you're here and saved, our great shepherd gave his life to rescue me. He engaged death for me. Knew no sin, death foreign to him, but he did that for me. Just like a shepherd would engage those that would be a terror unto those of his fold. In Isaiah 31, "For thus saith the Lord, hath the Lord spoken unto me," Isaiah says, "like as the lion and the young lion roaring on its prey, when a multitude of shepherds is called forth against him." Here the principle is that shepherds would be called together to go forth to get those animals that have been a plague to the folds, to the herds, to the flocks. They're brave. And our Lord Jesus, our great shepherd, indeed is brave. In John chapter 13, remember this is one of my favorite passages. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end." To the end. Even unto death. He was brave. He never faced death, never engaged death, never had been in a body before, a physical body that he was born in, that he is yet in today. He became a man, and he was brave as a man unto the end for the sake of his people. A man told me years ago, a long, long time ago, he said, "It just wasn't fair. It wasn't really a fair fight that God would come down and become a man, because he has all the power of God behind him." And so in his estimation, it wasn't really a real thing that the Lord did. But it was real. He was a man. Hebrews says that he feared. He faced those things for real, for sure. Yes, he is God, and praise God that he is. But yes, he is a man. And he identified with us so that he might save us. And he was brave unto the end. The great shepherd is tender and kind, yet great and terrible. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 36, "But when he," Jesus, "saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd." That's what Jesus considered as he looked on at the multitudes of people. And he knows the condition of all hearts and souls, and he saw that what was important to them and their wandering way. He said they're like sheep. They don't have a shepherd. They're scattered. They're scattered. In Mark chapter 6, speaking of the same occasion, Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. As great as he is, he takes the time to teach us good, wonderful things. Wonderful, good, eternal things, our great shepherd. And then Isaiah 40, look over here. Isaiah 40, speaking about the Lord's coming. He is tender and kind, yet he's great and terrible. They say that a good shepherd really loves his sheep. As the song that we sang, that "My sheep hear my voice." The shepherd, a good shepherd, knows the names of his sheep and they respond to him. And he loves them. He cares for them, and he looks out for them. If he's a good shepherd, not a hireling, but a shepherd. And we think of that, and we don't think of them. One could be great and terrible. But here in Isaiah chapter 40, look what it says here. In verse 11, John the Baptist is prophesied here, and what he would cry, okay, in those earlier voices. And then in verse 9, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up unto the high mountains, O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say in the cities of Judah, behold your God, deliverance. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm, and carry them in his bosom, and shall gently lead those that are with young. So he's tender, and he's very kind. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, and meted out the heaven with a span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales, and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counsel hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are a drop of a bucket, and are counted as small dust of the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing. Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All the nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing in vanity. To whom will ye liken God, or what likeness will ye compare unto him? It goes talking about the Lord as being a shepherd that carries his lambs in his bosom, and he cares for them and is tender towards them. Yet he's the great God and King of the universe. And who can stand before him? Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful that is our great shepherd? That is him. That describes him and tells about him. He is great, great indeed. Another point is the great shepherd does all things well for his sheep. All things well. In Ecclesiastes, Solomon writes this, and I wondered about this passage, and I believe the Lord's blessed me and helped me. That's what we need, as Brother Stephen has mentioned. It has helped to understand some of what this is talking about. In Ecclesiastes, the great shepherd does all things well for his sheep. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, an allegory about our bodies getting older. And listen to what it says in verse number 11. The words of the wise are as goads. You know what that? Those are points. They're sharpened up sticks. As nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, the carpenter, which are given from one shepherd. Our great shepherd knows how to poke us and corral us and guide us, and prick us, and direct us in the narrow way that we should go. Amen. And you know what? He never does it for our hurt. He never does it for our detriment, but always for our good. What a great shepherd. The next point, the great shepherd was smitten for his sheep, wasn't he? In Zechariah chapter 13, verse 7, Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts, smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn mine hand upon the little ones. Can you imagine the father pouring out his wrath upon the son? For the likes of me, for the likes of you, he was smitten. The great shepherd was smitten for his sheep. Hit, punched, abused, took the blow of the weight of our sin, my sin, so that I might be saved. In Matthew 26, then saith Jesus, verse 31, unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. Yet all that's within me is just to bail out on him. Yet he did such a thing for me. You know, our great shepherd is a rewarder. He's a rewarder. It's enough just to be rescued, isn't it? Just to be rescued from our sin and the condemnation of that sin and eternity in hell separated from God. It's enough just to be rescued from that. But yet our Lord, our great shepherd, is a rewarder. Hear that in 1 Peter chapter 5. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, brethren called to the Lord to be preachers and pastors. We've got a chief shepherd. This is not my church. I love you. I'm part of you. I'm one of you. And I claim you. You understand? You understand what I mean? Because I love you. The Lord's put me here. But this is the Lord's church. He's the chief shepherd. I'm the under shepherd. Trying to understand what to do. But the chief shepherd's going to appear one day. And we look forward to it, don't we? And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Oh, you pray for me that I would be faithful. That I would be faithful to the Lord and what He's given me to do in pastoring you and your families in this church. I want to be a good pastor, pleasing to my Lord. You pray for me. He's a rewarder. He is great, isn't He? The great shepherd is the judge of the earth. In Matthew chapter 25, take a look over here. The great shepherd, our great shepherd, is the judge of the earth. Some people have confusion about this passage. There's no need to have confusion about it. Just with any other passage, you got to take it with the rest. Amen? That's it. In Matthew chapter 25, verse number 31, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit on the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate the one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. Pardon me, and He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Is that talking about one judgment? No, it's talking about judgment. The Lord will He's got a judgment for the saved. He's got a judgment for the unsaved. He's got the judgment of nations that He'll perform, I believe, at another time, but kind of simultaneously with that, with those. But the bottom line is our great shepherd is the judge. Are you ready to meet the judge? Are you ready to meet the great shepherd? You better be. Because you're going to face Him one day. Our great shepherd is the Redeemer and Savior, isn't He? And we've alluded to that. Look here in Psalm 80. This is a wonderful psalm. Of course, we can say that about all the Scripture. But I want you to look at this. In Psalm 80, verse number 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, that thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth before Ephraim and Benjamin, Manasseh, stir up thy strength and come and save us. Look at that. In this passage, we'll not read it all, but look here. It's a call of the people for the great shepherd to come and save. Do you know you need saving? Child of God, do you know you need help? What do? You petition our Heavenly Father for help, don't we? Amen. We've been told to. Sinner, do you know, have you been shown that you need a Savior, that you need your soul saved? Go to the one that can save you. He says, before these tribes, stir up thy strength and come and save us. You know you need to be saved? Go to the Lord and ask Him to save you. You'll not be saved by any other. Look what it says on down through here. Verse 3. Turn again, O God, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. How can anybody be helped or saved? By the Lord. By the Lord. Salvation's of Him. And verse number 7. Turn us again, O God of hosts, and cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. Verse number 19. Turn us again, O Lord God of hosts. Cause thy face to shine, and we shall be saved. He is the great Redeemer and Savior. Our great Shepherd left us an example in 1 Peter chapter 2. We who are saved, He's left us an example in 1 Peter chapter 2. Our great Shepherd has left us an example. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 21, for even hereunto were ye called, it's going to tell us, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile or deception or lying found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. The example Brother Stephen was talking about. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the Shepherd and Bishop of your souls. Oh, what a great Shepherd. The ruler, the bishop, the minister of our souls, the Savior, a Redeemer. And He's left us as His children an example on how we need to be. The Lord Jesus Christ is our good and great Shepherd, isn't He? He is. In John chapter 10, you need to know about this passage. When you're talking about Jesus and talking about Him being a shepherd, this is the hallmark passage in the Scripture, in the New Testament indeed. You can spend time here, and we have in times past looked at this. We'll just read a few verses. Verse number 1 of John 10, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in and entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse number 11, I am the good shepherd, Jesus speaking, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He's not a hireling. He's not an agent of God, but He is God come down in the flesh to be a Savior for His people. He gives His life for the sheep. Verse number 12, but he that is an hireling and not the shepherd whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and have known of mine. My sheep hear my voice. We sang it, didn't we? Brother Nicky led us in it. And it is so. Verse number 16. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You know, that's speaking about us, I believe, the Gentiles. There is the fold amongst the Jews, and there's that fold that's amongst the nations of the world. The Lord having brought salvation. The Lord Jesus is our good and great shepherd. You take and consider about Psalms 23. I pray that maybe that in this message it might give us a greater touch and understanding about it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Is he yours? Do you claim him? Has he made a difference in you? Has he touched you? I'll not want. If I've got Jesus, if I have Jesus, what else do I need? Is there anything else that I need if I have the Lord Jesus? But what about a soul without Jesus? Can that soul ever be filled? Can that soul ever be helped? The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my great shepherd. I shall not want for anything. Amen. He stands in for me when I don't even know I need standing in for. He takes care of my sins and has forgiven me of my sins that I didn't even know I sinned against him. Somehow, when this life passes and this old body takes its last breath, somehow he's going to take me on to be with him. I don't know how, but he'll do it. He's promised it, and it will come to pass. He'll bring it to pass. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He provides, doesn't he? He restoreth my soul when I'm weary. He encourages me. He lifts us up, doesn't he? Joy in the Lord. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He knows no other place to lead but in the paths of righteousness. That's where he leads. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. The sinner without Christ is walking right down the middle of the bottom of that valley. In perpetual death. But for the child of God, we come crossways into that valley, and the Lord will lead us right out. Which way are you going through the valley? You going the long way through the valley? Or because of salvation in Christ, are you just going to pass through that valley? Amen? Isn't that good? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over, and every whit and every way he takes care of us. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I've got Jesus. I've got a great shepherd. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In conclusion, in Isaiah 53, verse number 6, Isaiah, he decries to the Lord about who has believed the report. To whom is the arm of the Lord, the strength, the salvation of the Lord been revealed? He tells about how the Savior is nothing that natural man would desire. But he tells that he was smitten and bruised for us, for his people. Isaiah says, but all that he bore, it was for me, not for him. He bore it for me. And he says here in verse number 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. Yeah, we are just as sheep. Really, in a sense, if you will, and I understand about depravity in that, but being made in the image and likeness of God and being created as we have been, that's how bad sin is and that's how bad depravity is. It blinds us. We're darkened. We can't hear. We can't see. But if there's any creature that ought to know about God, it ought to be us. But that's how bad our sin is, isn't it? All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And see, that'll always lead us to death when we go our own way. And the Lord, Isaiah says, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. We who are saved can say that. That's what the the Lord has done, He's laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He's a great shepherd. The great shepherd is the great Lamb of God, isn't He? Isn't that something? Isn't that something how Jesus fills all those things? Is the Lord your shepherd? He is the great shepherd. But do you claim Him and know Him as your own personal shepherd, submitting to Him in every way? We point you to Him. Has the great shepherd saved you? In Hebrews chapter 13, we'll close in Hebrews 13. Oh, may each one know the great shepherd. Now the God of peace, verse 20, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Amen. Through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Our great shepherd.